When it comes to sports, what do you value? Is it the final score at the end of the game? Is it money, fame, recognition? Or is it more about what you learn through the process? In this Words of Steel podcast, we'll take a deep dive into the world of sports to explore the values, motivations, and societal impact behind the games we love. Together, we'll seek to understand the true essence of sports and the invaluable life lessons that sports can bring. Subscribe now and let's embark on this enlightening adventure together.
Good morning, friends. I got up a little bit early this morning and thought I would maybe record a podcast. Just had a few things on my mind and thought I might as well get started and do something to get those off of my chest. There was a show that started in the 1950s that was called To Tell the Truth, and it's actually a show that has been on and off, I think, as recently as 2022. But in any event, there was a panel of four celebrities, and then there were three contestants, and the contestants were comprised of the actual person who had done something of notoriety. Maybe he or she had climbed Mount Everest and several other mountains or something like that. And then the other two contestants were imposters. They had not done the climbing or achieved that particular notoriety, but they were there to try to convince the celebrity panel that they were the person who had in fact done that incredible task. And so the panel of celebrities got to question the three players, so to speak, and the imposters would lie in response to the questions. They would tell lies to try to convince the celebrity panel to pick that person as being the achiever, the person who had accomplished the great task. And then the actual person who had done the particular task or noteworthy accomplishment, that person had to tell the truth in response to the questions. And so after a series of questions, maybe there were 10, 12, 20 questions, I can't remember, then the celebrity panel would guess which of the three people was in fact the actual achiever, the person who had accomplished whatever it was that was the theme of that particular segment of the show. And I had seen several episodes of this show. Again, it started in the 1950s, which was a little before my time, and into the 60s, which was during my early formative years. So I wouldn't say I was a fan or a regular watcher of the show, but I had seen the show several times, and I always thought it was intriguing because the popularity was really based on watching folks who could tell the best lies. In other words, if one or both imposters were chosen as the actual achiever, then I think those folks would get a prize. So they were rewarded for perhaps studying up on the subject matter and being able to portray a character and to lie. And in today's world, I know that we're all justifiably cynical about the information we receive, whether it's about politics, what's going on in the world, certainly even the sports world. And I wonder if, as we raise our kids, watch them participate in various activities, whether we are in fact teaching them how to lie effectively. Now, before we bristle at the notion that maybe we are teaching kids to lie, and I'm suggesting we're doing that unwittingly or just culturally as kind of an adaptation to what's going on. I'm not saying we're actually trying to teach kids to be dishonest. There may be a few folks who are doing that, but I'm just talking about the way that our culture accepts and frankly expects a temperance or a deviance from the actual truth to accommodate some other interest. I've raised kids and now am experiencing grandkids. And for those of you who've been around young kids, something that's kind of enjoyable for me is just the fact that there's such a lack of filter sometimes when you're dealing with a young child. And children are refreshingly honest. And on the other end of the spectrum, we're blessed to have our parents alive. My parents are in their 80s. My wife's parents are in their 90s. And at that end of the age spectrum, there's also quite a bit of candid honesty. Now, there's an old saying which goes something like, if you don't have something nice to say, then don't say anything at all. And that's good advice. I don't think we want to demean people just for the sake of being brutally honest. And I've had discussions with many people, including on a domestic level, and it's not absolutely necessary to say everything that's on your mind in the name of honesty. I'll get out of my lane a little bit and offer some marital advice. But for you husbands, you always want to be honest, but there is a time to moderate and check yourself in terms of what you may say. For instance, if your wife comes down the stairs and says, "How do I look in this dress?" I'm going to tell you that there are a limited number of options for you in terms of how you respond. And those options should include the words amazing and or beautiful. Now, in my case, I don't have to make up or invent those words for some fictitious reason. They're true in the case of my wife, but just pointing out the fact that there is some potential opportunity to use tact and context when we respond to questions and are called upon to tell the truth. Changing subjects quickly, one of the things that kind of weighed on my mind last night, not too heavily, but just something I was thinking about, was a report that I read in which the Cleveland Cavaliers, again, I'm now referring to the NBA or the new Body Ache League, which I don't watch, but you see articles. I think the reason the articles catch my attention is because there's such corruption and, frankly, lack of honesty and truth-telling in the NBA. But nevertheless, a fellow named J.B. Bickerstaff, who's the coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, was talking about the impact that gambling was having on the NBA games. And as a coach last year, he was even threatened by gamblers in various situations for not doing things during the game to perhaps cover the point spread or do other things that would enhance the lives of those gamblers. I have placed a wager or two in my life, usually with a friend or something. I've been to Las Vegas a few times and I might bet on a game or do something like that. But as many of you know, in today's world, you can gamble from your handheld device, and you can gamble on almost any situation that arises during the game. So back in the old days, maybe you picked a winner, or maybe you picked a team to cover or not cover a certain point spread differential. And those were kind of the main or only bets. Well, now you can bet on how many times somebody's going to shoot the ball, how many passes somebody's going to catch in the football game, how many yards they're going to gain in the football game, all that stuff. And so what's happened is gamblers are now infiltrating and trying to influence the coaches and the players to perform in such a way as to make those gamblers' exploits successful. And so what we have, quite frankly, is a situation in which professional sports, which lack some integrity to begin with all of the money and all of the games and the questions about effort and competition. But now it's being influenced directly by the gambling, and takes away, if not completely destroys, the integrity of the game, which, bluntly speaking, makes the game a lie. I have people, friends, over the years, I mean many years, 10, 20, 30 years, just I'll be around them. They'll say, well, that game was fixed. That play was fixed. The reason they gave up that basket at the end was because that changed the point spread differential. Everything's fixed. And I'm not really a conspiracy theorist when it comes to that kind of thing. I just assume players and coaches and everybody trying their best. Yeah, there are points in a game when, you know, if the game's been decided, maybe you call off the dogs, so to speak, and maybe that looks like you're not trying to cover a point spread. But I've never really been a conspiracy theorist. But I tell you what, it's harder to ignore and defend the concept that the game maintains its purity. And I'll use an example within the game of basketball itself. As many of you know, at any level of basketball, there are collisions. Basketball is not a sport that is necessarily designed for collision, but sometimes somebody has the ball and runs into a defender, or two players away from the ball may run into each other. And most of you who watch sports like this, happens even in other sports, but sometimes the person who maybe receives the contact will flop or fall down. And the purpose of doing that is to exaggerate or frankly fake, or more specifically lie, about the true nature of the contact that the person received. I've seen it in football games. You know, football obviously is a game of contact. And guys will get up, maybe there'll be a little pushing or a little shoving, and then all of a sudden somebody gets a shove and they end up doing like a backflip looking thing, like they got pushed to the point they couldn't stand up anymore. But right now, basketball is the ultimate flopping sport, in which somebody receives contact, usually from an offensive player with the ball, and then they're taught to exaggerate the nature of that contact and fall back. And then maybe the official, the referee, will call a foul or a violation on the offensive player. And it just made me think, in the bigger picture scheme of things, that are we raising a society of floppers? In other words, when there's a little contact or something a little bit bad happens, do we as a society overreact to try to draw attention, to try to gain sympathy, to try to get a break or a call, so to speak? Maybe we used to be a society which got back on the horse, so to speak. Now, when we fall off the horse, maybe we act like the horse stomped on us, and we can't get back up. I've heard a lot of people use the quote that the truth shall set you free. I think I've heard our current president use that quote from time to time. I find it interesting how many times in the secular world people will refer to something from the Bible unknowingly, unwittingly, but it really is a lot of these phrases and sayings, and quite frankly, direct quotes from Jesus, are part of our everyday life. The Bible says in John 8:31-32, and this is Jesus speaking, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So I'm still working on my master's in theology. Just kidding, I'm not working on a master's in theology. But in any event, after being around some learned people and doing some modest study of the Bible, I think what that scripture means is that if you know Jesus, if you know the Lord, then you know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And as we apply that to what maybe we're talking about today briefly, is the idea that maybe the problem with truth telling and the problem with acting in a way where we're honoring the integrity of the game or of the moment or whatever it might be. The problem is there are so many people who operate outside of a biblical worldview, a Jesus worldview, and so their calculus does not include who the truth is. So therefore, we don't know what the truth is. Let's think about that for a second. Most people look up to somebody, or maybe more than one person, and most people emulate that person that they look up to. Many of us have a to-do list. Maybe it's a daily list. Maybe it's weekly, monthly, whatever. But things that we have to get done or things that we'd like to do. And I've heard the challenge from different people, which goes something like, is Jesus on your list or did Jesus make your list? And frankly, there are many times when I have to admit Jesus may not even be on my list, let alone is he the creator of my list. But as I'm talking through this little podcast, it just strikes me again that if we don't know who the truth is, then we'll never know what the truth is in this fallen world. Friends, I don't like, generally speaking, shows or movies. This is part one, this is part two, this is the third in the series of six. But you know, I think I want to talk about this truth thing a little bit more, so maybe I'll come back in the next podcast and do that, unless something else is laid on my heart. But I've enjoyed this morning's podcast. I hope that you have too. We must give thanks to Brittany Atkins and Victoria Carmi Evans. I hope you have a blessed day, and I look forward to talking to you again soon. This has been Words of Steel. My name is Tom Steele.